time for the weekend kickoff with Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Ballpark Frank, and Big T Terrence. Start your weekend off with all the news on the gridiron, in the cage, and the ring, and anywhere else that sports is happening. The weekend kickoff is brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, number one for all your nutrition and supplement needs, with multiple locations around the valley to serve you better. Now, here are the guys to kick off your weekend on ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM.
And welcome in. First full weekend of 2017. Weekend kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. Brought to you each and every Saturday morning by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Now with five locations around the valley. All your nutrition and supplement needs. If you've started that New Year's resolution, go there and get everything. If you've already broke it, the hell with it. Restart it. Get yourself in shape. Do something good for yourself. It will definitely pay off, and these are the people that you need to go see. Vegas Discount Nutrition, all your nutrition and supplement needs. And, man, kind of a potpourri show today. Nothing really solid. We do have a special guest coming on in the second segment. We'll be talking some NFL, but I guess it's a little freewheeling. Maybe even some hockey in there today, since the Vegas Knights, this is the year that Vegas gets their professional team. But Phil, by the way, Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Ballpark Frank here with you. Big T, yeah, man's always out there busy working, and he's probably sweating, wondering what's going to happen in the frozen tundra this weekend as well.
Frozen indeed tonight.
But I know there's a couple things that were on your mind.
Obviously no UFC fights this weekend.
No
actually,
boxing.
There's no boxing. There's no real combat sports at all to speak of. We do have, obviously, football. This weekend, we do have the national championship on Monday, but last week when we came on the air, we were fresh off of Ronda Rousey coming off her devastating loss to Amanda Nunes, and one of the things that I have not liked what I've been hearing all week is the mainstream media, and when I say mainstream media, I do mean like, you know, Bristol or Connecticut. I'm talking about ESPN headquarters, guys at Fox Sports News, all of these well-known media outlets trying to talk about this like they know what they're talking
about. You're talking about the talking heads that don't even watch matches, or if they do, they maybe see a couple main events here and there and then pretend. It's just like the people that handicap the Kentucky Derby and they know everything about horse racing when they haven't watched a race since last year's Kentucky Derby or something. The experts that know nothing about it except for the sheets that their different people are feeding them.
Well, you've got like guys like Shannon Sharp, and he's sitting there talking about Ronda Rousey's career being completely fraudulent. Like, are you kidding me? Like, your boy Armando, your friend, comes.
Well, okay.
No, I want to talk about this for a second, because it's stuff like that that's what's wrong with not only MMA, but what's wrong with society. I'm going to tell you, your boy is wrong with society.
He is definitely wrong with society.
Everything is race-related, and everything that he was... like, I got into a conversation with this gentleman the other day, and it turned into... I felt like I was talking to a wall. It was me explaining the situation and him nothing getting through. And he said Ronda was a sham. Ronda was a loser. Ronda never fought anybody good. Like, are you kidding me?
No, she only fought every single person put up in front of her. She dominated the sport completely until other people came around and figured out a way to try to beat her. She was also an Olympian in jiu-jitsu.
Judo,
excuse me. She was learning other stuff as well, striking and different things. Ronda Rousey was the baddest woman on the planet.
Let us not forget that she also beat the reigning champion right now. She beat somebody.
Yeah, no, see, Amanda Nunes lost to Kat Zingano. Kat Zingano got smoked by Ronda Rousey in 16 seconds. But we all know MMA math doesn't add up.
No.
Just because you can beat one person doesn't mean that you can beat somebody that person beat. It's not the case.
Styles make matchups in all sports, but in MMA even more, because there's so many different styles.
And not only that, one of the most important parts of fighting is your game plan. And everybody's been harping on Rhonda's coach, Edmund, and that's where I think all of the blame should go. You cannot take anything away from Ronda Rousey and what she has done for the sport of women's mixed martial arts. Forget that, what she's done for the entire sport of mixed martial arts.
Oh, without a doubt. She's made it even more global than it already was. She got it in places it would never... Do you think anybody on Ellen would have ever been talking about it? Or all the women's channels and everything else? Ronda exploded it. Every single woman in the UFC should thank Ronda Rousey for making it possible that they have a UFC contract. Because Dana White was adamant that there was not going to be any women fighting in UFC. Ronda Rousey was such a big star, and he saw that on the rise, that he was like, hell, we got to get this woman in here and make a division for her. And yes, they did make the division for her, but to her credit, she beat the hell out of everybody that they put in front of her.
Everybody.
Until Holly Holm had the blueprint to beat her, and now the blueprint is out there. But like we talked about last week, Amanda Nunes, she could change her name to early retirement, because even somebody who, like Misha Tate, who Ronda beat a couple times, but is actually probably a better, well-rounded MMA fighter, the game's advanced too much even for her. That's, she admitted, I have to step aside because I can't go with these girls anymore, these young lionesses, because they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster, and they've been training in this and all the different disciplines since they started.
And when you talk about the doors that Ronda opened, you mentioned Dana White saying it was just about 6 years ago, five, 6 years ago, that never, ever would we see women in the UFC. Remember, it was very famous. It was on TMZ, him coming out of some club in LA.
Yes.
You know, hey, or a restaurant. Hey, Dana, when are we going to... Never. Never. You'll never see him.
Very adamant about it.
I never wanted to change his tune. I mean, people would bring it up, and he was like, no. Well, what about Gina Carano? No. What about... Stop? No. Stop. It's not going to happen. And that was... Your boy Wendell brought that up the other day, too. He brought up Gina Carano. Well, yeah, Gina Carano did make strides in women's MMA. You got to remember that Gina Carano, Chris Cyborg, their main event fight, that was the very first fight for a women, for women to headline a co-ed card. There was, it had never happened before.
Nope.
That was also the first women's fight that was 5 minute rounds. Got to remember, women up until like 5 years, 6 years ago, women only fought 3 minute rounds. It was three minute rounds was your fight, title fight included. Then it became five minute rounds. All right. So, yes, Gina made strides. Chris Cyborg made strides. By the way, Chris Cyborg, still the baddest woman on the planet. Drug tests, not, I don't care. Still the baddest woman on the planet. We never, we're, giving Ronda the credit, but no one here has ever tried to pretend that Chris Cyborg would lose to Ronda Rousey if they fought.
No, and yet, to show, like we were talking earlier about how styles make fights, in the Lion fights right out here over at the Hard Rock, which was a kickboxing type of bout, or it might have been Muay Thai.
Full contact, full rules Muay Thai.
Yeah. She got her butt kicked in that. So again, that shows that as good as you are in something, when you go in somebody else's world and realm, bad things can happen as well. So she is, I agree with you. She's the baddest woman on the planet, but even she can go into somebody else's territory and go, you know what? I'm not the baddest woman in this particular spectrum.
And any given night, anything can happen, especially when you're locking two people into a cage, or two girls or men are stepping in between the squared circle. Anything can happen in a fight. And yes.
So what happens now with the Holly Holm is fighting for a belt,
which, for the featherweight belt.
For the featherweight belt against somebody who hasn't won a fight.
Jermaine, now I think that the whole Holly Holm Jermaine fight is a big FU from the UFC to Chris Cyborg. There's no doubt about that. If you're going
to
make that
division.
Well,
weren't they trying to set up? They were hoping Ronda wins.
They were hoping. And that's the thing is, yes, Ronda was the type of person that you could bank on in the future. But what she did is she fought a stupid fight. That's what people need to know about all of this. That's the long run.
Well,
she fought a stupid fight. She didn't fight smart at all.
How much of the blame is on her, not to interrupt you, but how much of the blame is on her because she didn't make adjustments in her camp or coaching or anything like that?
That the blame does go on her, absolutely, for that fact, not for, you know, the ass whooping she took.
No, and I agree with you. I mean, for what happened, and again, when she walked in there, I truly believe she thought, I'm getting my belt back, I'm going to do everything. What she didn't realize and what we talked about on the show, amongst ourselves, on other shows, all over the place, she didn't know what her reaction was going to be the first time she got hit in the face. And when she did, all of a sudden, it triggered those memories of Holly Holm beating the hell out of her, and her brain went, I don't like this. I need to get away from this. I need to run away.
Now
this, and it came from a jab. Her first punch was a jab.
Oh yeah,
let alone it was a stiff jab. But
she should have never even been involved with that at no point. I mean, there were times. I mean, and you look at some fights, and you look at like Talis. Who was it? Was it Talis Lates? Yeah, that fought Anderson Silva a couple of years ago, and it was one of those fights that was absolutely. It was horrible to watch because Talis
wasn't that the Damian Maia.
No,
fight?
Damian Maia was another fight that was tough to watch, and Damian Maia fight was actually one of the ones where we saw the nasty Anderson Silva, where he was trash talking him in the ring, in the cage, and it got a little ugly. But when you saw like the scooting over on the floor, just basically staying off his back and not even wanting to stand. Okay, Ronda has that ability where if she does not want to engage in a fisticuffs battle with you. She doesn't have to. But she was fed some BS that she was a good boxer. And she walked away and forgot about what got her to the show. Why she is the woman she is. Why she is the standout she was because of her judo. It had nothing to do with her stand-up. I remember the MMA awards about 5 years ago. I met her at the bar. She was with Judo Jean LaBelle, one of, honestly, for me, as a combat sports fan and as a movie and, you know, TV freak, Judo Jean LaBelle, I mean, this guy was a stuntman in Hollywood. He's been responsible for a lot of the things you saw in action movies when it came to martial arts. Hell, he was in Batman 1966. this is a guy who's been around forever. I was in my heaven right there. And I remember talking to Ronda and asking her, hey, I have seen what you can do in the ring, but how is your stand-up? Oh, wait till I show them. Oh, you wait till I show them. I cannot. And I'm just like, I was listening to it, and it was like there was that part of me. Yeah, I want to see it. But, man, I don't want to see it because I don't want you to get away from what got you to the dance. And that we see happens a lot. What? But you brought up, Armando, what next for her? And this is where I throw it to you with your wrestling faux pas and your wrestling knowledge.
Yes.
I saw an interview this past week with the coach, Jonathan Coachman, on Busted Open Radio on Sirius. And he said that she's not going to end up in the WWE now and that the WWE has absolutely zero use for Ronda Rousey at this moment.
Oh.
What do you think about that?
I don't agree with that.
You don't agree with that?
I actually
kind of agreed with his sentiment where he was saying that she's broken.
Well, she may be broken.
Ronda Rousey is...
Why can't they... I mean, if you can rehabilitate Brock Lesnar into a monster after he showed in the UFC that he didn't like to get hit in the face. I mean, he didn't like to take any kind of punishment. I don't care how sick he was or how sick he wasn't, whatever it was. Either way, he didn't like to get hit in the face.
Brock was a former WWE champion, though.
No, I agree.
Before he went. So
no,
it's a little different scenario.
Brock is also a renowned wrestler. And
I agree.
He was also the champ in the UFC, as we know as well. Well,
Ronda was a medalist in the Olympics. Who cares?
Right. You know? But the difference is, and like Phil saying, Brock was already established in that world.
Yeah.
And Brock, although he did lose, he was never dominated and looked as bad as Ronda did in most people's eyes in 48 seconds.
Well, I don't know. I thought Kane dominated him.
He did dominate him, but to some people, trust me, There's people's minds out there and some of the wrestling fans that are fans of Brock Lesnar that still remember when Carwin beating him like that, and they thought, well, he could have come back because they'd seen him do it once before, even though we all know that he couldn't have. There's some people in their mind that can still paint that picture. Ronda wasn't coming back at all.
No, no.
Ronda was just backing up, going, please, referee, step in here and save my damn life.
See, and here's the other thing. It's the way she's handled the last two losses. That's the thing, is like Ronda lost to Holly and disappeared for a year and then loses to Amanda and does no media afterwards.
I don't understand that. I mean, who cares if she's a bad loser, if she's a sore loser? I mean, to me, it doesn't matter. I mean, why do I need to hear her perspective on life after I got, you know, my face kicked in? And it did, you know, and supposedly I read somewhere that she got a broken jaw this time out. I was like, well, I can't do interviews because I have a broken jaw. You know, whatever. Who cares if she's a lousy loser? It doesn't really matter to me. I don't want to hear her anyways. I mean, go on, do whatever you have to do. Come back, do SNL, do whatever you want, and build yourself back up. Why not?
So you don't think it would... The WWE taking Ronda, if that's what she decide, would be a bad idea. You think the fans would accept her?
I think eventually they could. If anyone could rehabilitate her career, because it took a great hit. I mean, what I hear now that they're calling off movies that she was supposed to do. I mean,
see, that's the thing is when you bring up the movies, is that illusion? Yeah. It's gone. And I hate saying that word, that illusion. The illusion of flawlessness. That illusion that she was unbeatable. Everybody is beatable. But to go back to everything, everyone needs to stop. Yes. The Ronda Rousey has done nothing for MMA.
No, she's definitely done a ton. I will say this, though, what you're talking about with the illusion and everything else. I agree with you, it's not an illusion. But leading up to this fight, I don't think she did herself any favors going down the road here. The way she acted, the way she wouldn't talk to the media, the way she wouldn't talk to the fans, and even the commercials that she did for the product she was pushing in that. Yeah, you know, it's okay to not be perfect, because now I'm going to get up here and I'm going to show everybody how, and then you performed on the bigger stage than last time, even worse than you did against Holly Holm, because you were completely dominated. You didn't talk to anybody. You acted like a brat. Maybe in the back room, maybe you were laughing at everything, and maybe it was all an act. But then again, even that night when Amanda went to shake your hand, you did walk out. So you looked like a brat to people beforehand. You looked like a brat afterwards. I mean, WWE could maybe bring her in and make her a heel.
I don't see why not. They had so much momentum, too, doing it when she was undefeated. Now, yeah. when she showed up at WrestleMania, and now we do, there are, hey, I watch MMA, I watch WWE, I know you do the same. Uh-huh. You're not so much a wrestling fan, Frank, but you do know what's going on.
I mean, I know the wrestlers and what's going on out there in different things. I'll channel surf and see some of it here and there.
But the fact that you had an entire arena, I mean, or stadium, that was an outside, that was a football stadium that was full with rabid WWE fans. They all knew who Ronda Rousey was. And I can guarantee you, if you had put Chris Cyborg in there or Gina Carano, they wouldn't have known who she was. Chris Cyborg, not everybody.
Chris Cyborg had a hard time selling out fights downtown at the D here in Vegas in a very small venue.
Ronda would never have that problem.
You could have put Ronda in a main event at Jerry World and she would have sold the damn thing out.
Absolutely. And let's not forget that. Okay. And also, let's not forget that.
The pay-per-view numbers are in over a million. Yes. 1.1.
So still, Ronda Rousey, yeah. Conor McGregor, big win or lose, well, biggest star. From?
Why is he in the discussion?
Because Conor McGregor is the biggest selling.
He's gone for 10 months. Let him be.
He's coming back in May. And Conor McGregor, listen.
He's not coming back in May. Just
listen, Wendell,
let him leave.
Wendell, too. Listen. Conor McGregor, Ronda Rousey, the two biggest stars in the UFC. And no one forgets it. And no one can say that they've been hand-fed, that their fights have been picked for them, that they've been given an easy road. Because there's no easy road in the UFC.
By the way, guess what? If you're going to hand-feed something to Ronda Rousey, you would have given her a tune-up fight before she fought for the belt with the champion.
And it was probably a good idea for them to have done that, but not her. She wanted her belt back.
She came, she saw, She did not conquer.
She got conquered.
She conquered the MMA world.
She did conquer the MMA world.
You know.
Where does she go from
can't
here?
Can't win every battle.
You know what? And here's the bottom line, too.
She got a nice check to be
and,
to
and,
cry
and
over.
And we're up against the break here. But I'm sure she's depressed. I know she hasn't really said anything yet. She's going to get like $7 or $8 million out of this. You know what? I will stand here and put my hands behind my back and let Amanda Nunes smack me in the face for 48 seconds. I'll be hurting, and I might even be in the hospital. But when I wake up, that check is going to put a smile even on my damn face. It is the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. When we come back, little football. It's playoff weekend. Wild card weekend is here, and we got a special guest we'll tell you all about. Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you each and every week by Vegas Discount Nutrition with five locations to get all your nutrition and supplement needs easier for you. Check them out. Everybody there knows what they're doing. Tell them what your plans are, what your goals are, and they will help set you up with the right regimen to get things done. All right, guys, speaking about getting it done, Phil, I know we got a special guest standing by, and it is a time to put up or shut up in the NFL. Wild Card Weekend is here. Regular season's over. All of our teams, well, we don't have any pressure in the playoffs this year, unfortunately for us, but I know a gentleman standing by on the phone right now, he's got a little bit of an interest in one of the teams.
Actually, in the last time we spoke to him, there was a completely different scenario going on down in Miami, and he actually is the host of the Alex Dono Show, which is on WQAM 560 in Miami. Alex Dono, thanks for joining us today. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and you know, it's funny, Phil, I was thinking about that yesterday, that the last time you guys had me on, I think it was right before the Dolphins played the Cleveland Browns, and at that time, you know, the franchise didn't look like they were going anywhere yet. I mean, we had high hopes down here for what Adam Gase might be able to do, but you know, the team didn't seem to have any direction at that time, and probably the biggest change since then, this was back in September, is the emergence of Jay Ajayi. You know, the conversation that we had, you know, way back then, I wasn't sure, and I wasn't the only one, but I wasn't sure if Ajayi would even still be on the team long-term. We thought he might be cut at any time, but he emerged, had a season of over 1,200 yards rushing this year, became one of the best stories in the NFL. In fact, Ajayi was named Dolphins team MVP yesterday, so certainly a lot has changed since the last time you guys had me on, and I appreciate you having me on again.
A lot has changed, and yeah, they were a running back by committee back then, and I mean, we didn't know what to expect out of Ryan Tannehill. I guess we had kind of gone the route of, you know, Miami fans have just accepted that he's not the franchise quarterback that they wanted, and, you know, things certainly turned around, but now they turned around sort of again with Tannehill being out, and you guys got in Matt Moore right now. How is the, I guess, how are your hopes down now with this game? Obviously, the first game against Pittsburgh this year was down in Miami, and you guys routed them, and that was actually Jay's come-out game, so to say. What's the environment right now?
The environment, I mean, first and foremost, excitement among the fan base and among players. You know, the vast majority of guys in that locker room have zero playoff experience. I mean, there's only really a handful of players, and all of them in other places, who have been in the postseason before, like Ndamukong Suh, like Brandon Albert and Jamon Bushrod on the offensive line, Kenny Stills in New Orleans, John Denny, who was actually, he's been the Dolphins' long snapper for so long. He, you know, played for that last Dolphins team to make the playoffs back in 2008. But outside of that, there's virtually no playoff experience there, including a guy like Cameron Wake, who's been probably the overall the franchise's most consistent player since 2009. So he missed the last Dolphins playoff appearance by 1 year. So he's pumped up going to the postseason now for the first time at the age of 34. And, you know, the fan base is excited because they've not experienced this in, you know, eight seasons going back to the 2008 year. And it's funny because I think that the biggest concern that Dolphin fans have heading into Pittsburgh, and, yeah, the Fins are the biggest underdog in the NFL this weekend. They're a double-digit dog at Pittsburgh. Even more so than the quarterback position because, you know, Matt Moore has been solid. You know, he's the guy who had to win two straight games to get you into the playoffs, and he did that. It's not to say he's as solid as Ryan Tannehill's been this year, but I think the bigger concern that Dolphin backers have heading into this football game is who's going to be healthy on that defense. I mean, it's just been decimated by injury all season long. The linebacking core is in bad shape. You know, uncertain if Jelani Jenkins can play at linebacker, and he would be your key guy in the passing game covering Le'Veon Bell for passes out of the backfield. If Jelani can play, he probably can't go. And then even more so in the defensive secondary, if Byron Maxwell can't play, and he's listed as doubtful with an ankle injury that just won't heal, you could be in huge trouble, because Byron Maxwell was the guy who, you know, kept Antonio Brown in check back in Week 6 when the Dolphins were able to beat the Steelers 30-15. So if Byron Maxwell can't play on Sunday or tomorrow, you're going to have to rely on a rookie in Xavien Howard and a second-year guy in Tony Lippett at corner. Tony Lippett was playing wide receiver about 3 years ago when he was in college. So that's a really tough proposition going up against Antonio Brown if you don't have Byron Maxwell ready. So I think the defensive injuries are the primary reason why the Dolphins are such a heavy dog.
Now, Alex, one thing that we've heard about in sports forever when it comes to football is warm weather teams going to cold weather places, that can have an effect as well. Do you think that could have an effect on this game? Because obviously Miami, they go up to New England, they go to the Jets, they go to Buffalo every year. So they're kind of one of those warm weather teams that's kind of accustomed to playing in cold weather on a regular or at least semi-regular basis.
I think they're more concerned about what the wind conditions are going to be tomorrow. If you talk to anybody in that locker room, I guess I'll have to take them by their word that they're not concerned about the temperature. That, you know, that's something, like you mentioned, they've played in New York, they've played in Buffalo in the month of December. I don't think either of those places are as cold as Pittsburgh is going to be tomorrow. I think it's going to be about a high of 20 degrees and a low of 10. So it's going to be the coldest game they've played in this year. But they claim to not be worried about it. In fact, if you brought it up in the locker room this week, it's been shot down pretty quickly by guys like Kenny Stills and Damian Williams at running back especially. They didn't want to hear any talk about the weather. But as far as preparation goes, Dolphins special teams coach Darren Rizzi made it very clear this week that it's almost impossible to make adjustments to prepare for the cold weather. They tried something this week, putting the kicker balls, the K-balls, in the freezer before practice started to kind of get the kickers and the punters used to, you know, kicking a frozen football. But it's been so warm here in Miami that Darren Rizzi says they took the K-balls out of the freezer, and then within 5 minutes they were completely thawed out. So there was really nothing they could do to get ready for that. And I think probably if you're going to worry about what the weather is going to affect, it might affect the kicking game more than anything once those balls get frozen.
Now, Alex, you've been following the sport for a while, and you know you know sports in general. As far as you talking earlier saying about the inexperience and the lack of players on this team that have playoff experience, and I believe the number is like 12. You have 12 guys on that roster that have had playoff experience. That's like a third of the team. Do you think that's actually a positive or a negative?
I'm glad you asked that, because the more people that I talk to and the more that I think about it and being around the locker room this week, I think that could be a positive. I mean, that's not going to be the difference in me picking the Dolphins or the Steelers. I am picking the Steelers to win a close game. But, you know, just seeing how loose everybody was this week, knowing that, hey, they're the sixth seed, they're the second wild card team, they're not even supposed to be here. And most of the players in this locker room, like you mentioned, haven't been there before. So these guys are feeling no pressure is the amazing thing. They actually had a professional DJ in practice this week pumping up the music. I mean, the guys have been celebrating in the locker room. I don't mean this to say that they're taking this moment lightly or they're overlooking the Steelers. That's not really my point here. My point is these guys are just having fun. And I can guarantee you that in the Steelers locker room this week, there's been a lot more pressure and a lot more expectation, because that city expects nothing less than a playoff victory, because they've been conditioned to making the playoffs every year and winning more championships in the Super Bowl era than anyone else. So I think something you're going to see on Sunday is, for better or for worse, the Dolphins are going to be a lot more loose and playing a lot more open, and I think that's something that could probably help them maybe jump out to an early lead and keep the score a little bit closer.
Now, Alex, let me ask you something. The last time they played, Jay Ajayi went off for over 200 yards. Now, from my understanding is that Pittsburgh's going to have a little help back. They're not as injured as they were back then. Their main focus, do you think, would be just to stop Jay Ajayi? I mean, they were too embarrassed by that loss and by what they gave up. That, I mean, I see people here. There's even prop bets that he's going to get under 50 yards here in Vegas right now.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Wow.
No. So, I mean, you could... I think he hurt their feelings a little bit, which I'm very happy with. In fact, by the way, Alex, I wanted you to know I'm sporting my Jay Ajayi Miami Dolphins jersey.
Oh, good for you.
This defense, the Steelers, especially since you hear they're really into this, they want to win this game. I mean, is their main focus Jay Ajayi, or is it that they have a rookie quarterback coming in?
I think the focus has to be for the Steelers trying to shut down Jay Ajayi. Talking to some Pittsburgh beat writers this week, they're even expecting that Pittsburgh might kind of even sell out to stop the run,
wow.
Stack eight guys in the box. And it's something the Dolphins have seen a lot. I mean, really, ever since Ajayi burst on the scene, week six and week seven was when he had consecutive 200-yard games. We've seen teams commit to stopping the run really ever since that point. And Ajayi has had an amazing season, and the yards after contact have been phenomenal. But he's had a few stretches this year where he's only been able to manage 61, 70 yards per game because teams are selling out to stop that run. And I think it's an especially appropriate strategy for Pittsburgh tomorrow, knowing that, they are going up against a backup quarterback. And, Matt Moore is capable of making big plays, and he's got big play wide receivers to throw to, but he's also capable of making big mistakes. I mean, he brings that sort of gunslinger label into this one where he's good for two or three touchdown passes per game, but he's also good for a bad interception per game. And if Pittsburgh can stack the box, try to really force Matt Moore to beat them, I think their hope would be if he can't get a running game going, Matt Moore's not going to be in any rhythm, and you're going to face third and longs, and he's going to throw some interceptions. So I think that's probably the way they're going to play it.
Now, we've talked about Jay Ajayi and his running ability, and you brought up Le'Veon Bell earlier. And Bell averaged 160 yards a game throughout the season. But the first time they faced the Dolphins, actually, he was only limited to like 10 carries and over 100 yards. So they actually were able to stop him somewhat. Do you think they can do the same tomorrow?
I don't. And the other thing is, I'm not sure if it really matters. I mean, the crazy thing about this Dolphins defense is they're 30th against the run, and they've gotten by giving up big rushing yards. I mean, there's a weird sense down here that the Dolphins defense could allow potentially Le'Veon Bell to rush for 150 tomorrow and still win the football game, because the way this defense has been able to make plays this year has been stopping opponents on third down. They've been one of the best in the NFL defending third down. They've been able to make big plays as far as interceptions and turnovers go. That's going to be tougher to do if Byron Maxwell can't play. And they've forced field goal tries in the red zone instead of touchdowns. So they've made their living really on the bend, don't break. So they've beaten teams this year despite giving up big rushing totals, and there's a feeling that they could do that again. So I think Dolphin fans are probably more worried about Ben Roethlisberger really getting going. I think there's a feeling that Le'Veon Bell is going to get his. Now, if he, rushes for 200 yards, it's probably not going to go so well, but he could be in that 100 range, I think, and the Dolphins could still win this football game.
Alex, you've told us about the health and what's going on with Miami. What is Pittsburgh? What are they looking at right now as far as their health is? What is their game plan going to be for this? And I know, as crazy as it sounds, with all the success that the Steelers have had, I know Steeler fans out there that their biggest concern is the decisions that Tomlin makes on the sidelines.
Yeah, I think the two biggest injury concerns from a Dolphin perspective from the Steelers side I would look at, I know that Sammy Coates has been banged up. I'm sure he's going to play, but if he's closer to 100%, he just provides another element with the deep threat that's going to really force the Dolphins' defensive backfield to approach games differently and probably open up a lot more underneath. And then Ladarius Green, the tight end, he hasn't practiced all week, but he's been questionable. The Dolphins have had so much trouble covering tight ends this year. I think it goes hand in hand with the linebacking core being extremely injured. We've seen tight ends like Dennis Pitta had a career game against the Dolphins earlier this year and a loss to Baltimore. We've seen tight ends up the middle of the field just have their way with this defense. So if that tight end is okay to play and he's close to 100% on Sunday, I think that's going to be another tough deal for the Dolphins. But you know, the Steelers are definitely the healthier team this weekend. I think that's another reason why a lot of people are looking at them having a big edge. And as far as Mike Tomlin goes, I've really kind of had a hard time understanding some of this stuff. You know, I heard the Terry Bradshaw cheerleader comments from a couple of weeks ago. You know, I talked to two Steelers beat writers this week, and one of them came out and basically said, hey, anybody who's in the Terry Bradshaw camp and calls Tomlin a cheerleader, they're crazy, they're off their rocker, they're ridiculous, they're on an island. Then I talked to another Steelers beat writer who said, hey, you know, a lot of people in Pittsburgh feel that way, that he's actually maybe too buddy-buddy with his players, he's too close with these guys, that he's not approaching things the way that a head coach should. So I do think that people in Pittsburgh are kind of split on that, and any Dolphin fan should be hoping he makes some coaching mistakes this week.
You know, Dolphins-Steelers tomorrow is a pretty exciting game. Tomorrow, I think, is the most exciting game on the games on the docket. Giants and Green Bay, I'm really looking forward to. Any games this weekend besides the Dolphins-Steelers, obviously, that you're looking forward to the most, Alex?
I like the Giants-Packers game a lot. You know, Green Bay is the hottest team in the NFL, and, you know, I know way too many transplanted New Yorkers who are Giants fans down here who are going to get in my face about that. I'm not a Green Bay fan, but I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan, just on the field. I know off the field everybody hates the guy. His own family won't even talk to the guy. They sent him Christmas presents, and he sent him right back. So I'm not, I don't know if I'm a fan of his personally, but I'm looking forward to watching that game, certainly. And the game that I'm not looking forward to would be that Oakland-Houston game later today. Like, that looks like one of, on paper, could be one of the worst playoff games ever.
Yeah,
you're talking about the Las Vegas Raiders there, sir.
Oh, yeah. Pardon me. Well, listen, if they had Derek Carr playing today,
yes, you are correct.
I'd be a huge fan of his all year long. I think it'd be a completely different, you know, as a fan, I'd be a lot more interested if Derek Carr could go.
I'm with you there.
You know, and it's funny. Everybody's kind of, you know, harping on the fact Connor Cook, you know, it's his first start. He showed up last week and, you know, he two fumbles, an interception against Denver. But, you know, Houston's got their own quarterback problems as well right now. So I think you're right. I think on paper that game's just, that's a hurting. That's going to be a hurting game.
Come on. Alex, who would you rather have? Alex, Osweiler or Cook?
I'd rather have Cook. Honestly.
Really? Wow, okay.
At least Cook has upside, right? Like Osweiler, I'm pretty sure that guy sucks and is probably not getting any better at this point.
Yeah.
At least with Connor Cook, you can say, okay, the future might be bright for him. Maybe he can parlay today's playoff experience into a bright future.
Hey, okay. Trust me, I'm a Bears fan. I'm so glad that we're finally getting out of Jay Cutler's contract. I would not want to have that contract paying $17 million to Brock Osweiler down in Texas right now.
Just terrible.
Alex, you... Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Armando.
No, I'm just good. I was going to ask him something about MMA questions.
That's where I was going to go, yeah, Alex. Yeah. I know you do a lot of MMA. You cover the sport. What has your reaction been to this week and all of the, as Frank calls, the talking heads or the mainstream media and their downplay on the career of Ronda Rousey?
I just think that a lot of these talking heads, they just have so little context, so little knowledge of what's going on. And it's almost like you listen to some of these national radio and TV guys who are clearly not into the sport and probably have only ever watched that 48 seconds of Rousey's career. Maybe they also watched the Holly Holm fight for reference. And, you know, you can tell that they're just reaching for something to talk about, that maybe they had a program manager tell them, hey, please spend 15 minutes on Rousey today. I think it's unbelievable how people will put her in her entire career in a graveyard based on that performance. I mean, I still maintain that if she can find the judgment and kind of remove herself from the situation to realize she needs different coaching and better coaching, because Edmund Tarverdian is doing nothing for her at this point. You know, it's hard for me to say that a woman who has won an Olympic bronze medal in judo isn't athletic enough and capable enough to evolve and continue to, you know, return to greatness as a fighter. I think it's possible for her physically, but is she willing to make those decisions and make that leap of faith and find a better training camp and a better situation? Because she's not evolving right now. I'm not sure if she ever fights again, because every time that girl loses, like, she acts like her world has just ended. So I don't know if we'll ever see her again in the octagon. Maybe she'd be smart to go collect seven figures for the WWE, because I'm sure there'd be an offer on the table there for her. But I think if she really does commit to resuming her MMA career the right way. I think she could be great again.
You know, it's kind of, to me, what's the saddest thing about this whole thing is everybody's talking about Ronda Rousey. They're not giving Nunes the respect that she deserves. And
that's
no one's talking
point.
About Cody Garbrandt. And he was the star of the night. He beat the hell out of Dominick Cruz when everybody thought they were feeding him to him too early. And all anybody wants to talk about is what's going on with Ronda. How about the people that are there right now that we should be appreciating and look forward to seeing get back in the cage?
Well, let me tell you something else I hate. I'm glad you brought that up. On Twitter, right after that event was over, I kept seeing people say, oh, I can't believe I paid $60 or I went all the way out to the sports bar to watch a 48-second fight. And I want to throw things at my computer
yes.
when I see people tweet that. Because like, you didn't watch any of the undercard, really. You didn't spend any time watching the undercard or watching the prelims because you had some unbelievable fights and unbelievable performances. None better than what Cody Garbrandt did. I mean, anybody out there, if you were dumb enough to pay $60 for a pay-per-view and you just tuned in when Rousey is walking out to the cage, that's the thing that annoys me most is that people don't realize there's an event that went on.
Yeah.
Now, I'm also glad you brought up Amanda Nunes because I hope the UFC really gets behind her and pushes her now because she, like Rousey, she did no media leading up to the fight. I think they wanted to be fair to her since Rousey wasn't doing any radio or TV obligations. They wanted to be fair and not make Amanda do any of that as well. But I hope now that she has beaten Rousey, she's defended the title, that they get behind her and push her because she's a savage in there. She's so much fun to watch. I hope they give her the respect she deserves. And I hope people go back and watch that Cody Garbrandt fight because that was impressive.
Now, Alex, being that she trains there at American Top Team, were they behind her in Florida? I mean, were they still pro Ronda there? During this...
I think they were still pro Ronda. I don't think people. I mean, part of that, the lack of push, promotional push for Amanda, I think was also lacking in this community. I think only the hardcorest of the hardcore. It's unfortunate to say it, but you know when the last time that I saw something similar to this, guys, I remember back in like circa 08, 09, when Mike Brown became the champion and beat Uriah Faber twice in the WEC.
Yes,
they had one of those fights was in South Florida, and people had no idea. This was at the Hard Rock Casino
in
Hollywood, Florida. And people in that crowd, they were cheering for Uriah because they had no idea who Mike Brown was, had no idea he was training a few miles down the street at American Top Team. It was all Uriah Faber fans because, aside from the hardcore of the hardcore, they didn't know who Mike Brown was. I think the same thing happens a little bit with Amanda. I think after the fight was over, I saw she tweeted out a picture of herself. I think she actually tweeted this out before the fight, but I retweeted it after the fight. She tweeted out a picture of herself that Amanda wearing a Miami Dolphins hat, and that was getting a lot of play by people in Miami on social media. So I think they're starting to figure it out now that this woman trains locally. She's in Coconut Creek, and people are starting to get behind her. But I don't think people started figuring that out until after the fight was over. So hopefully she can, whoever she fights next, she can take some of that Miami momentum into it.
Hopefully.
And I hope the UFC does right by her
yes.
and starts to promote her because that was something we had talked about leading up to the fight, the fact that it was a basically 30-second to a minute Ronda Rousey commercial. And, oh, yeah, by the way, she's fighting our champion. So it was kind of silly. And I think that the UFC and, they're going to be going through some rough times right now with their new ownership and some major growing pains because I don't think that they exactly knew what they were signing up for. But, Alex, we are up against the break. We do have to go. Appreciate your time. Let everyone know where they can reach you.
I appreciate you guys. Yeah, please find me on Twitter. It's at Alex Dono, Dono spelled D-O-N-N-O. And you can find my shows, my podcasts, at my radio station website, WQAM.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hey, by the way, Alex. Real quick, Alex, too, at least when Amanda wears that Dolphins hat, it's probably legit. Armando's going to put on one of his six other jerseys after tomorrow. So, he's not quite the real deal here.
Thanks again,
Take
Alex.
Care, Alex.
All right, we got to step aside here because that is going to wrap it up for this segment. When we come back, we'll take a quick look at the other games as well. It's the Weekend Kickoff brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. All right, wrapping it up here. Weekend Kickoff. ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition with five locations around town for all your nutrition and supplement needs. Guys, we got some other football games going on, but I know you wanted to mention something about Armando's team or something.
Well, yeah,
or?
Last night I felt so bad for him. I was getting ready for bed, and I put on the Warriors Memphis game, and I'm like, wow, Armando's boys are up big here. And then
those are not my boys.
Wait, but you're not a Warriors fan?
I am not a Warriors fan. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's right. You're a Utah Jazz fan.
No, I am. Would you stop?
Wait, is it a Celtics?
It's purple and gold.
I don't know.
Purple. And then the Lakers, the Los Angeles Lakers, won yesterday by a wide margin, beating the Miami Heat.
So you like L.A. teams unless they don't have one. Then you like San Fran teams, but then you don't like San Fran teams when L.A. does have a team. But L.A.'s
yeah,
got,
what you just said.
But L.A.'s got two teams in basketball, so you're also a Clipper fan. I don't.
I am not a Clipper fan.
I don't know how to keep track of what the hell you're doing.
I will never be a Clippers fan. Never be a Celtics fan. Stop.
You know, there was when I lived in New York, there was this sporting goods store named Modell's, and they were jerseys galore. I feel like Armando got hit with a Modell's truck. Every time I see him, he's got a different jersey on from
my
a different team.
My new one hasn't shown up yet.
But, I mean, how do you do it? You have a different jersey from a different team for, like, every day of the week.
Wait till my baseball jersey comes.
What does your closet look like?
Next week, it's, you know.
Actually, I don't want to know what's in your closet now that I think about it.
T-shirts from work, supplement companies, and jerseys.
I don't want to know what is in your closet.
You know, you just brought up a good point there. I always thought that Armando's kids, I thought they were just in shape and healthy. They're skinny because they don't eat, because he's spending all his money on damn jerseys. Poor kids. I feel sorry for you guys.
But I know, Frank, I know you're a little tired this morning. I know you pulled another all-nighter, but your Blackhawks played last night, too.
Blackhawks finally off the snide. Got a couple wins in a row. Stole one against Buffalo the other night and beat the Hurricane last night 2-1. So getting things back. But you know what? I'm a realist, and I try to be honest about stuff. They are in first place, but it's actually a misleading in first place right now because Minnesota is 3 points behind. They have five games in hand.
Ooh.
The Minnesota Wild are playing incredible. They are the danger this year in that division. Now, watch out for Minnesota.
I'm not really a hockey follower, don't really watch the sport. I get most of my hockey intel from you, but I did see the other night on social media everyone was going nuts about USA being great in hockey again. What exactly did that mean?
They just won the junior championships, a great run. They were undefeated throughout the tournament, beat the Russia in an exciting semifinal match where Troy Terry, when they have a shootout in international play, once they go through the five original shooters, if it's still tied, then the same person can shoot over and over and over again. You might remember T.J. Oshie did that a couple years ago.
I don't, but I'll take your word for it.
In a huge tournament. Well, Troy Terry came up. By the way, he was named after Troy Aikman, so I don't know if his father really wanted a hockey player, but I think he's happy with him right now. A fourth-line player, but really good in shootouts, scored all three times, beats Russia, then scores the only goal in the shootout against Canada. USA takes the gold.
Wow, very cool. Real quickly, we do have some fight bookings that were signed in the UFC, and there's one that I really want to talk about because I find this the most interesting, and that would be Mark Hunt has signed to fight Alistair Overeem. Now, we have not seen Mark Hunt in quite a bit, and he's actually been taking a stand.
Oh, boy, but have we heard of him?
Yeah, he has been taking a stand against the UFC and taking a stand against actually fighters and PEDs. And the fact that he's got a bunch of the fighters that he has fought in the past have tested positive. And, well, he tried to get added into his clause that if a fighter or his opponent, Alistair, tests positive after the fight, he gets his whole purse. UFC disagreed with it, said it's not going to happen. But
it
I think this
happen,
is,
but he should
actually,
do that.
I think this is something that should happen. Just like we talked about and we were getting into, and I know this is not a conversation for now because we are up against the clock. Fighters not making weight, losing 20% of your purse, obviously it's not enough. You need to lose your job. You get caught busted with steroids doing that, you need to lose your job. Or you need to relinquish your purse to your opponent. I like what Mark Hunt wants to do here.
And there should at least be an escalating scale for it. And if he doesn't get it all, 50% to him, 50% to a charity. You get nothing if you're cheating.
Yep, nothing cheating. You don't make weight, you lose your job. I think that's the way they should go.
Yes.
Unless you're Brock Lesnar, then you can just go back to WWE and fight on the next thing that they do as well. For Phil, for Armando, I'm Ballpark Frank. Also, thanks to Big T and all you out there for listening. Enjoy your week. We'll talk to you again next Saturday, Weekend Kickoff, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition.